Let us pray. Sun. S-U-N and S-O-N. Thank you, Lord. We so desperately need them both. For the new years, clean slates, and second chances that you offer us each and every morning, all so freely given. Thank you for your big, fat love and kindness and forgiveness. For all the surprises and plans you have in store for us to give us a future filled with hope, we give you thanks. For pillows to lay our heads on each night, blankets to keep us warm, food enough to share, and the freedom to come to this place that we call home, to hear your good word, reminding us of who we are and whose we are, we give you thanks. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, my little brother, Mike, isn't there something about little brothers? They're so annoying. He got a place in Southern California a few years back and has been asking me ever since, when are you coming to visit? Well, I'd never been to the desert before, and I'm a Minnesota girl, don't you know? I kind of prefer big lakes and oceans. They're more my cup of tea. And something about heat and blowing sand have just never sounded appealing to me. And so every time he would ask, I would hem and I would haw until finally he said, come on, you'll like it, I promise. They speak Spanish everywhere, they have killer Mexican food, and you love to hike, just come. So I finally acquiesced and said, okay, well, 2 days, I'll come for 2 days. So Tom and I headed southwest to the desert this week, and as we firstborns hate to admit, I was wrong, really wrong, and my little brother was right. The desert was beautiful. It wasn't flat at all. We were surrounded by huge snow-capped mountains, ski resorts even, crazy cool blooming cactus everywhere, golf courses surrounded by palm trees, go figure, and the best hiking that we've ever done anywhere. So one morning, we head out four-wheeling in 40-degree weather past all the farms where we saw hundreds of migrant workers stooped over picking by hand thousands of bunches of kale and avocado and red bell peppers, bouncing over massive boulders and aqueducts and grapevines until we reached the base of the mountain. We grabbed our Nalgene water bottles and our trekking poles, and we headed out into Painted Canyon. It was stunning and breathtaking. We just kept looking up at all the rock walls that had burst forth from the center of the earth millennia ago, and all the reds and grays and snow whites and all the colors, and wowing at the amazing breadth and depth of this beautiful planet that we live on. Thank you, God. So a couple hours in, climbing straight up over boulders and through dark, eerily narrow crevasses, climbing up ropes and ladders to get ourselves up, all of a sudden, I start to wonder if I have not gotten myself in way over my head. I'm like, I'm in my 60s. What was I thinking? I am winded. I am dehydrated in the desert air, and I'm thinking, if I slip and break an ankle, they are going to have to airlift me out of here. But I am stubborn, really, really stubborn. And so I keep climbing, one foot in front of the other, looking up past the narrow rock, through the chute to the sky, looking for some sun and some hope, and all the while singing, "Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine," to comfort my soul and to apologize to God for getting myself in this situation again and to pray that I will get out safely. So we finally reach the peak. Thank you, God. And my little brother looks at me and sees that I'm, well, you know, purple, and says, "Look, you made it. We climbed from way down there, past all those ridges. You've got this." And even though we had a few hours to go, it was all downhill from there. The sun was shining warmly upon us, and we looked out at all of God's creation stretched before us. The Salton Sea off in the distance, desert flowers blooming impossibly from rock formations, generations and peoples and ages in the making. And I believed him. We had this. The scripture lesson the pastor read this morning is from the book of Isaiah. And as Lutherans, we don't always spend a lot of time studying Isaiah per se, but we know it, because Isaiah is so important to our Christian tradition that it's quoted more in the New Testament than any of the Hebrew scriptures. 46 times in the Gospels, and 30 times by the Apostle Paul alone. It's part of our faith. Isaiah has been seen as a prophet, as an evangelist, mandating peace and justice, using female imagery throughout. Women matter. Women are wise. Women carry the faith. Isaiah 60 is liberation theology. It liberates us from everything and everyone who tries to hold us down, the captors of our body and our mind and our spirit. They have no hold on us. Devil, get thee behind us. We are yoked by Christ. We are God's children. God's word fills us with this hope. It's Lutheran 101. "For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice." In the midst of the never-ending supply of darkness that the world attempts to throw at us, God's promises of joyful, optimistic, beautiful salvation surround us. So now that we know our futures are secure, now that we know that we are heaven bound, now that we know eternal life and salvation are ours, how do we respond? We rise and we shine and we give God the glory. Shining reflected light and sun, S-U-N and S-O-N, on all those that God places in our path. You may not remember this, and you will see it shortly, but when you were baptized, when you brought your children to be baptized, when you saw your grandchildren be baptized, the pastor splashed water on their forehead and said the words, "Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ. You belong to Christ, in whom you have been saved. And then, of all the imperatives that we human beings would have loved to have put forth, like say your nightly prayers, work hard, be brave, be honest, have integrity, instead, we skip the human directives and we use God's words instead. Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They're that important. I close with this thought. If it feels like you're going through a deep, dark valley in life, if you're looking up at the sun and you just can't seem to think that you can propel yourself forward one more day, if you're struggling to keep up, picture yourself at the top of that mountain, looking back on how far you have come, and remember and focus on all the beautiful people and things that God has placed in front of you and surrounding you for your journey. And then pause and go forth singing. Rise. Rise and shine and give God your glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God your glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God your glory, glory, children of the Lord. Amen.